Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thanks for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk educating human thought up to spiritual apprehension as preparation for the blessed event of individual resurrection. Listen as we explain the function of sowing to the spirit as opposed to sowing to the flesh. In this show, we will discuss why the resurrection of Lazarus only appears in the 11th chapter of the books of John. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and rise above the influence of mortal sense. Swami, I see the title of today's show is Owner's Manual for Mortal Humans. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I thought it would be a good idea to try and organize a methodology in order to attain these levels of consciousness and degrees of awareness we've been talking about. At this point, one comes to the understanding there's a process in human development. By living instinctually, a person grows like a tree and not like a human. We survive physically, but there's no growth in consciousness. The idea of points of passage with rites of passage are on the junk pile, the flat earth theory today. We insist on equality by diversity and make laws to enforce these beliefs. But at what price? Physics tells us matter can't be created nor destroyed, only changed. And gain can't be achieved without loss. And so here I thought it might be a good idea to start to learn about this lie, this false sense of existence, so that we can know the truth. Because there must be a transformation, a going through form, before we can start to realize this human potential that we talk about.
Are you saying that we survive physically, but there is no growth in consciousness? So we can assume from that statement, we have some work that we have to do. We don't have the owner's manual to teach us how to grow in consciousness, but we do have the Bible that can maybe help us in this direction.
Yeah, in my opinion, I think there's way more than just the Bible. I really like to use things like Kriya Yoga. These weren't anti-Christian things. They were pre-Christian. Other religions as well, things like Buddhism. Even the martial arts, in a very fundamental level, were systems that enabled human beings to expand their identity beyond a personal sense of self, which is really what civilization is in desperation for today. Like we said, we're chronologically aging, but psychologically, spiritually, we're remaining in this underdeveloped state. The guilt, the shame, the anger, the resentment, the blame, the emptiness, the boredom that people are struggling with on a regular basis today is really coming from a kickback, from this unlived latent potential that we want to be a whole person. And we go to therapy and we take pills and we try and manage what's going on in our inner environment. It may offer you some relief, but it doesn't offer you solution. This idea of equality, when you understand yourself to be one with all of creation, all of life, There is no need for laws. We're looking in the wrong direction. We're living in the wrong self, basically.
Well, so what would be like the first step for us to really understand how to live our lives without these laws, without these theories?
Well, the main thing I always say is we need laws to uphold the conduct we would do naturally if we were humans in the adult state. That once you start to understand yourself in the way that you are created, which is spiritually, you no longer need to regulate your behavior based on external circumstances and situations. You are governed from within, and you are under the divine law of absolute perfection.
Now, I just want to ask you a question or a clarification on the adult state. So you're not talking about the adult state as in a particular age that we become. You're talking about something different here, right?
Yeah, we're talking about the stages in human development typically have been laid out in three phases. Depending on where it is you go to get your information, the hero's journey was the separation, the journey, the return. In Kriya Yoga, we go from unconscious awareness to self-conscious awareness to superconscious awareness. In Christianity, the Christian myth was the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension. These are all metaphors or myths that we use to help us understand this plight of consciousness. It parallels the metamorphosis of a butterfly. Butterflies aren't born butterflies, they're born caterpillars. Caterpillars are insects in the larvae state. They do nothing but indulge. And the same is true with the human in the larvae state. We're careless, we're emotional, we're indulgent, we're excitable. Now, the caterpillar doesn't wake up one morning and say, "Where did these wings come from?" The caterpillar goes into a chrysalis. The rituals, the ceremonies, the ordeals, the ascetic practices, these were lifestyle strategies to put the human being in a chrysalis. But from the chrysalis is really where the adult state is experienced. From the chrysalis comes the butterfly. And so out of these rituals, ceremonies, ordeals, ascetic practices, comes the human in the adult state. And the human in the adult state has options that the human in the larvae state didn't have, just like a butterfly has options that a caterpillar doesn't have. A butterfly, if it wants, it can crawl around on the ground, but if it wants, it can fly. It can access another medium, another dimension of reality, and navigate through it. The human in the adult state can access these other dimensions of reality, not limited to just what is visible and tangible, or even invisible but tangible, but now can access that which is invisible and intangible, the realms of spirit, the absolute, the level of consciousness that everything is happening at once.
So, Swami, so now that we understand more about the human in the adult state, let's talk more about learning the lie and how we recognize when we are in the lie.
Yeah, eventually we realized only reason walks through the open door of revelation. As Herb Fitch states in Realization of Oneness, Class 13B, I'll read it. New progressions in consciousness made possible only when divine will is the motivating force of your being. End of quote. Until a human being separates from being individualized by the world mind, we're basically hypnotized. World thought is being televised and broadcasted and then internalized and accepted as my thought. And we call this being an individual today. But in truth, we really have to separate from this lower level of consciousness. and develop a personal sense of self, and then live our lives under the government of human rules, where we're able to regulate our behavior based on laws that are in accordance with universal order. Mary Baker Eddy called this educating thought up to spiritual apprehension. But this also marks a phase in development where we have individuated, we've separated from being a mouthpiece for the collective consciousness, and now we are making choices based on a personal sense of self. But that can't be as far as you go. You have to have this crucifixion of the body. You have to then eventually give up this personal sense of self and accept this larger sense of spiritual identity. So there's a progression that happens here. But if you don't have an understanding of how this is working and you're left to your own devices, chances are you're going to leave out some of the very important steps that are required to do this. And when we talk about a manual, in my opinion, there really isn't anything much better than the Kriya Yoga that we teach, that you have a complete holistic health management system here. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Your eight essential stages of Kriya Yoga break down into practices and a process. And your practices are found in your first four stages of yoga. Yama, niyama, asana, pranayama. They break down into a path of action, a path of knowledge, a path of devotion. Creation is not going to reveal its secrets to an unworthy opponent. You have to be at the top of your game if you're going to be exposed to or given the privilege of knowing this truth.
Well, so let's talk more about that. So we want to know the truth. And I think one of those truths is that God is all, but I know we talk even more deeper than that. So let's know the truth so that we can start to begin to understand when we are living the lie.
Yeah, I always think about what von Goethe said, none are more hopelessly imprisoned or enslaved than those who falsely believe they're free. Collectively, I think humanity thinks freedom is their ability to get whatever they want, which is a misconception. We really have to purify ourselves of most of these human concepts, theories, beliefs. Religion is inundated with these doctrines that can't get you out of the mind, that will never bring forth the divine image, the idea of knowing God aright. Most people think God made this world with all of its problems and imperfections and war, all of these atrocities in this world, and they think God made this. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. We're down here and we believe we're finite, we're mortal, and we're begging God to improve this human experience. Well, God can't give us anything because God isn't withholding anything. God is running a perfect universe. It is our responsibility to come out of this false sense of life and know life is perfect. It's held, controlled, and governed by the divine law, not this mental material form we are accepting as real. We're in the wrong life. And so how do we get out of it? And this was where I found that the Kriya Yoga was very helpful, because you start to employ strategies. You develop yourself physically, mentally, conceptually. You prepare the mind-body complex for these shifts in consciousness in order that we might have a personal sense of self to surrender to this divine self.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, we understand now that before we can know the truth, we must master the lie. And you're talking to us about the procedures and processes. What else can you tell us?
Yeah, I really like what Mary Baker Eddy taught Martha Wilcox in a lesson where she insisted that you be faithful and orderly with the objects of sense, which makes you receptive to the deeper things of the divine principle. And for me, the manual is found in practices and a process. And what makes divine science a science is there's a rule and there's an outcome. The rule is spirit is all, and the outcome is all is good. Now, when you start to work with this absolute divine omnipresence as a principle, as a law, and you also understand that consciousness is experience. When you work with this rule and you start to realize divine truth in consciousness resolves things into thoughts and exchanges the objects of sense for the divine idea. Rather than trying to fix what is appearing in your five material senses and reacting to what seems to be imperfection, lack, limitation, discord, you no longer react to this. You make this internal adjustment. You turn away from what is appearing in the five material senses because you understand that to be the lie. And you keep your mind in constant relation with the divine creation, which is invisible and intangible to your material senses, but it is functioning. It's right here, always functioning everywhere. And working with yama, niyama, asana, pranayama gives you methodology. It gives you a practice, a way of working with this principle and integrating it as your mode of operation so that once you have developed a certain degree of willpower, when you are faithful and orderly with the objects of sense, then reason can walk through this open door of revelation. But if you're still struggling with a lack of being able to control your behavior, your appearance, you don't have that level of consciousness that enables you to have educated your thought up to spiritual apprehension yet. And this is one of the reasons why I really keep coming back to the Kriya Yoga. Because, again, your first four stages of yoga, yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, gives you a complete holistic health management system. Your last four stages, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi, will be the same breathing exercises, the same dietary recommendations, the same exercise program that you're doing, but it will be done at a different level of consciousness, a different degree of awareness. There is progression that takes place. And what may have seemed difficult in the beginning eventually becomes your natural way of living your life. Rather than trying, striving, struggling, seeking, planning, and asking, the effortful work of concentration eventually becomes the flow state of meditation, where you're no longer living out from a personal sense of self, but you are one, you are in tandem with that which is pure, powerful, and sacred, and totally reliable.
So Swami, we're talking about, well, what is the lie? And you've already given us some pretty good ideas of what it is and what it is not, that there is something other than the good. But let's talk about also, I think there's more than that. It's also, and I think you had used the word earlier, this appearance, what we see is indeed a lie. What we witness can be the lie. Can you give us an example of that?
Yeah, the idea of the sin. What we don't realize is by accepting mortality, we live in sin. We're missing the mark. And again, the idea of can the mind free itself from its own creation? Yes, but it requires a procedure. Divide and conquer before uniting and standing. The hero's journey is the separation, the journey, the return. Or the Christian myth is the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension. Caterpillar, chrysalis, butterfly. There's only one way this goes right, and everything else is a lie. It's a sin. The term in yoga we use is avidya, ignorance, mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. But if we don't know what we're calling life is the lie, then we continue to accept finite good as the end result of this existence. But what we find is that we're still in the cycle of death and rebirth. We're still under the law of karma. We still believe in two powers. And it's driven by belief. It's a hypnotic state that if we don't awaken from it, then it perpetuates itself. It's ever ending, never ending. It just continues to go on. And that's one of the reasons why, again, I really like the Kriya Yoga, because we use that concept of reincarnation. Now, Mary Baker Eddy did not believe in reincarnation because she doesn't believe in incarnation. There is no human experience. It's a false state of being. And we continue to try and figure out how this unreal became real. And again, it's ever-ending. It's never-ending. It doesn't go away because on some level, the mind can't free itself from its own creation. We really have to come out of this mortal sense of existence in order for us to know the truth. Life is perfect. It's whole. It's complete. It never needs anything added to it or taken away. But that is purely spiritual.
So I think what I take from this is that if I'm looking outside with my mortal eyes and I see something that isn't good, let's say, then I know that that cannot be a part of the divine creation.
That's 100% right. But by the same token, what you see with your mortal eyes, even if it is good, all the good, beautiful, and true attributes belong to the divine principle. But like Mary Baker Eddy said, sometimes beautiful, always erroneous. The mortal mind never brings forth the divine image. So in order for us to really understand this on a deeper level, divine mind resolves things into thoughts and exchanges the objects of sense for the divine idea, translating everything back into spirit. Mortal mind resolves the divine idea into thoughts and exchanges thoughts for the objects of sense, making thoughts into things. It's like the difference between fission and fusion, or reflection and refraction. To be truly successful, we don't polarize on one, but learn to utilize both. On a fundamental level, we use a mirror to check the physical posture. And on a larger scale, we use the physical body as a barometer to determine what is held in consciousness. You use the testimony of your material senses to let you know what you are conscious of. Am I sowing to the spirit, or am I sowing to the flesh? And as long as we continue to keep our minds in constant relation with the testimony of the five material senses, we continue to perpetuate imperfection, lack, limitation, discord, suffering, sickness, disease, because that's the nature of the beast. It's a divided consciousness. In order for this to really begin to work, you have to understand that term in the Bible called repent, which means think differently. Stop thinking with your five material senses and start knowing with your seven spiritual senses. Again, in yoga physiology, we use these seven chakras. In revelations in the Bible, John used seven churches. There's a reason that these kind of dovetail with one another. It's because there's only one way this goes right, and we must know it. However you want to lay it out, you must know yourself in the way that you're created. So you start by understanding how mortal mind works, and then eventually you graduate and you begin to understand how divine mind works. And once you know there's a huge difference between the two, you never make that mistake of confusing one for the other, or mistaking the impermanent for the permanent, or the lie for the truth.
Well, it is that time to wrap up our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On any of the pages on our website, if you scroll down, you'll see several buttons there that you can choose to further your spiritual development, as well as the Swami Says recent posts. So with that, Swami, do you have any final thoughts about today's program?
I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and rise above the influence of mortal sense. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.